Well, what's the greatest speech that you've ever heard? Maybe you've listened through history and thought about some, or listened to some speeches that you've heard about through the ages. I ask Google, what's the greatest speech that's ever been written or spoken? The usual suspects came up. I Have a Dream by Martin Luther Jr. King Jr. We Shall Fight on the Beaches. Do you know who that one is? Of course, yeah, you're all nodding. Winston Churchill, isn't it? Yeah. Two great speeches delivered at really crucial times in history. Listen to this. I've got a bit from Winston Churchill's speech. He says there, "We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight on the beaches. We shall fight on the landing grounds. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender." And if you've ever listened to that speech, it's quite an emotional part of that particular speech. It was given when England was under immense pressure to give up, pressure to give in, and people pulled together in the face of that pressure. And it's great to study about these different speeches, isn't it, and learn how they craft these speeches. And it's great to, we can even go online and listen to them and hear their emotion as they do it. Now, as we come to our last sermon from the book of Colossians, as you leave today, my hope is that you'll be prepared to speak. Be prepared to speak. Speak because you are in Christ. Speak because you've been reminded of who Jesus is. Speak because your speech is actually a speech that will change the world. It will change the world. Now, it'd be great for you to have a Bible open and have the outline in front of you too. That you can see that I've put two ways we can speak in the outline there. We're going to look at those verses that Vanessa put up on the screen for us today, verses 2 to 6. We're going to look at those. Not that the rest of the chapter is any less important. The final greetings are important. But I think the encouragement for us here is really important. Especially when we've considered everything that we've seen, or considering everything we've seen up till now in Colossians, these verses are really important. So who do you speak to? The first way we speak is to God. I'm talking about prayer. I think about the importance of speeches and how they've motivated whole countries to change because of their words. Yet when it comes to speaking to God, we have trouble, don't we? We struggle. We need the encouragement to keep going. Even though the God of the universe, the God who's made everything that we can see and not see, even though he's done all of that and he wants us to speak to him, even though we know that, it's still hard to go and ask things for him. See, this is prayer, isn't it? Speaking to God. Remember, this is a letter that was written to churches who were in Christ, just like us. If you've turned to Christ and followed him, you are a follower of Jesus and you are in Christ. We have his spirit in us. And this letter is addressed to people like that, people like you and me, spirit-filled people who follow Jesus. Now I'm going to read verses 2 to 4 for us again. Listen to what it says. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Three times there we see the word pray or prayer. Paul, the author of the letter, is urging those in Colossae and Laodicea and Hierapolis, as we read in the final words, he's calling them to devote themselves to prayer. We see it in verse 2 where it says, devote yourselves to prayer. Now the word devote, well, that could also be translated as persevere, persevering prayer. You could even say continue to pray in the face of difficulty, or even continue to pray even when there's no indication of success. Continue to pray. That's what it means to devote yourselves to prayer. to have a dedication, a loyalty, a loving loyalty to continue praying, even when it's difficult, even when it seems hopeless. Devote yourselves to prayer. Now, as you look at verse 2, we get some extra words after this. It says, being watchful and thankful. Now, it's saying being watchful in prayer and pray with thanksgiving. To be watchful in prayer means to be alert and awake. Notice what's going on around you and pray for it. That's the easy version. As we live life, we see things going on and we want to be people of prayer, so we pray about it. The image that came to mind for me was those guards that stand out the front of Buckingham Palace. You know, they have those silly hats and the shoes on. But they're attentive as ever. They're watching everything. And I think that's the idea here. Be ever watchful, pray for what's happening, and be alert and awake in your prayers. Just as a guard is watching over the palace, pray as for what you're seeing and hearing. See, prayer is an active thing. It's something we particularly participate in, and it's something we struggle in as we call upon God to act. Now, if you look at Paul's prayer in Colossians chapter 1, 3 to 14, we get a sense of how Paul prayed. He prayed differently, and maybe you want to go back and listen to that talk again and be reminded how we can pray. And as we look at that prayer in chapter 1, we understand what Paul meant by telling them to be watchful and thankful, to struggle and participate and be involved in God's work for the world. That's the first part of this prayer. Paul telling them to pray for themselves, to be involved and to be active in their prayers, to be devoted. Now he goes on in verses 3 and 4, telling them to pray specifically for God, for Paul and his friends. Now there's three things he asks for here. One is that their doors will be open for their message, that they proclaim the message or the mystery of Christ, and that they may proclaim it clearly. Now Paul is the evangelist. He's the one who wants all people to know the mystery of Christ. And as you hear this, you may remember that we talked about this in chapter 1, verse 27. We were told that the mystery is Christ in you. In other words, Paul wants prayer for the way to be open so that the mystery of Christ being in Christ is proclaimed clearly. It's a great thing to ask someone to pray for. To pray that God would go before them. Pray that he would open doors for the message, that they may proclaim the right message, and that the right message would be heard and understood. This particular prayer request we could use for every missionary we know. We could look at it and think, yeah, we could pray this for Bessie. We could pray this for Mick. We could pray this for those who are teaching the good news of Jesus to those around them. But even more than those people, we can even pray this for each other. I can pray the doors will be open for each one of you, that you may proclaim the mystery of Christ clearly. So we don't want the message to be unclear, do we? If someone tells us they worship a different God, but it's really just the same, we need to say, no, it's not the same. Many other gods require people to do something for God. Jesus says that he's the only way, and that in him it is all done. In Jesus we are forgiven based on his death on the cross. And so we pray that we can be clear as we explain the truth of the gospel to those around us. We ask God to help us be clear. I spent some time with someone recently, and I realized that in that conversation I needed to be very clear as to what we believe as a church. I explained the gospel to them very clearly. I knew it was going to offend that person. I knew it wasn't going to be received very well. Now, it would be very easy to soften the message, to accept misunderstandings for the sake of community. But I need to be truthful. And sometimes the truth pushes people away. And I think that's why we need to ask God for his help, so that we would be clear. Clearly proclaim the message of Christ in you, so that the truth of the gospel is heard by those around us. So the first way to speak is to speak to God. It's about prayer. We've heard what we should be devoted to do it steadfastly. And Paul gave some ways that they could pray for him. And we saw that similarly, we can pray for those who preach and teach the good news of Jesus. And that means we can be praying for one another. And after hearing that, we need to then ask ourselves, well, are we praying? And are we praying that we will speak clearly? There's really two things going on here, isn't there? There's prayer in general, make sure that we continue to pray, but also pray specifically for the good news of Jesus to be clear, and that doors will be opened, and that to people that we want to share with, and that we will speak with clarity. But I think I want to leave you with something practical. See, it's easy for me to make sure to say to you, well, make sure you're praying and make sure you're praying for these things. But I think it's more helpful for me to give you some more practical ways to help you pray. Now, most of us don't function very well without a list, do we? But when it comes to prayer, often we just go, oh, yeah, I've got a mental list and I'll try and get through it. I think the best thing our family's ever done is have a photo book with people that we pray for in that photo book. We eat dinner, we read the Bible, and then we grab the book and we flip the page, and whoever's on the next page we pray for. All the people in that book are people we want to pray for. It's not difficult, but it helps us to pray. That's the goal. We don't want to make it difficult. That's one practical way. I was talking to another friend of mine this week, and he's asked me to help him keep him accountable to pray. And I'm sure he'd be okay for me to share this idea with you. He's decided that on Sunday mornings, that doesn't matter about the day, but he's decided that on Sunday morning, he's going to get up and he's going to write a prayer. And then during the week, when he wakes up, he's going to grab that prayer and he's going to pray that prayer again every day for that week. And then he comes to the next Sunday and he'll write the prayer again. So in other words, he's preparing a prayer on the Sunday, and then he'll use that prayer for the week. And if he bumps into someone during the week and he says, oh, I'll pray for you, he says he just adds their name to the bottom of the piece of paper and he'll pray for them the next time he prays. Maybe that sounds like a good idea to you. And maybe another time of the week works better for you, but it's a way to make sure that we're praying regularly. We've got a book by Paul E. Miller. He talks about prayer cards where we write someone's name down, and then we write, you know, maybe a verse comes to mind for that person and you write that on there. Maybe something's going on in their life, you write that on there, and you just flip through the cards as you're praying for people. They're all different ideas. Well, for you to think about how you can be more regular in prayer. Now, when it comes to prayer, we've heard some good things to pray for people. But it's the action of praying that often stops us. And so the reason why I've given you these ideas is that you're prepared to pray when it comes to pray, when it comes the time to pray. So I encourage you to find time to pray. Get together with God, you and him, and speak. Tell him what's on your mind. Tell him how you're going. Tell him what's troubling you. Tell him what pain you're experiencing or what joys. And then get out your prayer, your cards, your phone book, whatever it is that you've got, and then start to pray for the people around you. Now, if you're unsure who to pray for, if you're thinking, who would I pray for? Why don't you start with the people that you talk to today after church? So don't run away and talk to a few people and then pray for them this week. The key is to pray. And we've got a great example of prayer in verse 17 from Epaphras. Paul says in chapter 3, verse 12. Is it Epaphras, verse 12? Can someone just confirm that? Yeah, it is. Yeah, okay. Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends his greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. This is the way we speak to God. Speaking to God about people we care about. Now, the second way we speak that we see in this passage is the way we speak to outsiders. You can see this in verse 6. It literally says, let your speech be gracious. But go back to verse 5, because 5 and 6 are all about those who are on the outside. And we see here that we're told to act wisely towards the outsider, make the most of every opportunity. Now, this section is about how we speak and relate to those on the outside, those who are outside of Christ. Now, the action word here is to act. It has this idea of walking beside others, or beside outsiders, and we're told to walk with them. And as they're walking, as we're walking with them, meaning living life, spending time with them and caring for them, those in Colossae, well, they need to put on wisdom. Walk with wisdom as you interact with outsiders. Now, this actually takes us all the way back to chapter 1, verse 9, where it says, for this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. See, Paul's been praying that they will be filled with spiritual wisdom, filled with the knowledge of God's will. And as we've seen throughout this book, they've gained insight into what this mystery of Christ is, which is the knowledge of Jesus and his death and resurrection, and that they are in Christ. And we're told here, knowing what you know, Paul is urging them to be wise in the way they act with outsiders. The idea here is that outsiders shouldn't feel tricked. They shouldn't feel manipulated. They should feel as though they've heard the truth. Not our truth, not our spin, but God's word about his son. And as we act wisely towards them, opportunities to speak the truth wisely will open up. And we pray that it may be heard. Now, many people in this world are suffering. Many people are hurting. They're finding life really tough. And the idea that Paul has here is that we would come alongside these people in whatever circumstances they find themselves in, and we help them in their pain or distress, and we love and care for them. Not because we think we're better, but because we can love them and care for them. A love that Jesus has shown for us. And that's what we see in verse 6. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. That's the speech we want to have with those on the outside. A speech full of grace, a beautiful speech. A speech that has answers in a world that can be full of confusion. Now, this week someone crashed their car into our car. Everyone's okay. The car's not. It's a bit of a pain having an accident. You're without a car, you need to organise the repairer to pick it up. It's all just a bit of a nuisance, really. But after talking to the guy who hit us, I said to Matthias, I think he was a Christian. You know, the way he cared for us, the way he messaged afterwards, the way he apologised for just ruining the rest of our day. Now, I don't know if he was a Christian or not, but someone impacted by the grace of God would take the opportunity to make sure that their speech was always full of grace and seasoned with salt, even in distressing moments like that. And that's how that guy acted towards us. And that's why that passage is saying, if you're in Christ with wisdom, your speech to those on the outside must be full of grace. Why would we need to do that? Why should we speak with grace? Well, it says in verse 6 that we should have an answer for everyone. And I think this letter has been about those on the outside trying to break down those on the inside. Those on the outside are trying to convince those on the inside to turn away from the good news and to leave Christ behind. And they're being reminded right now that in the face of suffering, be wise with those on the outside. Love on them. Care for them. Win them over with grace. That's how we're to treat those on the outside, with grace seasoned with salt. In other words, in your speech, treat them well and love on them. Now, I don't know about you, but I've enjoyed our time through the book of Colossians. It's been a real joy for me to be able to spend some time going through this book. And I wanted to finish just with a few things that have been helpful for me as we've gone through the book. And the first, just in response to our speech with God and with those around us. I think the first thing that I was being reminded of who Jesus is. It's not like I'd forgotten, but I think the importance of seeing Jesus as God's Son, yet fully creator and sustainer of all that we see and don't see in the universe. Just being reminded of that has been really helpful. I think sometimes I'm taken in by the humanity of Jesus, and Colossians has reminded me once again of his divinity. And it's important for our faith, because if Jesus wasn't divine, there was no way he could atone for our sins. So I've enjoyed that reminder. The second thing I've enjoyed is that I've been made alive in Christ. I think Colossians has reminded me once again of my conversion, where I was filled with an overwhelming desire to get on my knees and pray that Jesus would take over my life. The Spirit came in and I was taken in by Jesus and made alive in him. And I think it's been great to be reminded that this mystery of being in Christ has been revealed to me, and I pray that it's been revealed to you as well. And knowing that I'm a fellow heir with Jesus, that you are my brothers and sisters as a result of that, I think are all great things to be reminded of. And then lastly, it's been a good reminder for me to live my life for Jesus. I find there are so many things that I can occupy my time with and my mind with, but as someone who belongs to Jesus, I've actually been given a greater purpose, haven't I? And Colossians has reminded me of the need for me to speak to him and to speak to those around me. So that will be my prayer for you, that you continue to speak to God and speak to those on the outside and to others with grace, seasoned with salt. I hope you've enjoyed going through Colossians like I have. Let's pray. Father God, we give you thanks for this letter, a letter to people written long ago, but absolutely crucial for us to understand who you really are, who your Son is, and how we can live for you. Lord, we ask that we can be a people who love to speak. Speak to you in prayer, speak to our friends and family who don't know you, and we ask that you go before us, opening doors for your message to be heard, open doors for your message to be received, and we pray that we will be clear in what we say. Lord, we thank you for the time we could spend in this book. We thank you for the refreshment that it is. Thank you for your words written to us, and we pray all this in the strong name of Jesus. Amen.